being glad. That is, as you gather together for your Thanksgiving meal, I hope it'll be a time of gladness. I hope that you'll recognize that this perhaps may be the last Thanksgiving you ever spend with your family. You do realize that, don't you? We're on borrowed time. And then again, some of us may not only be glad, but there might be some of us that might be sad. Understand in some ways as you gather around your Thanksgiving table, there perhaps might be an empty seat around the table. How many know what I'm talking about? But yet at the same time, if that loved one who has gone on to be with the Lord, you can rejoice that one day you'll see them again. And so it might be a time where some are glad. It might be a time when some are sad. And yet thirdly, it might be a time this Thanksgiving when some are mad. It might be that you're at odds with a family member. It could be that you sit at the table and maybe you haven't spoken in a while to that loved one. Or maybe you're frustrated because of some other circumstance that is beyond your control. I don't know what your situation is, but I know that all of us will probably fit in that category of one of those three responses. Now let's face it, beloved, we cannot change the past. How many know we cannot change the past? The past is gone. But I want you to know, if you've been saved by the blood of the Lamb of God, our sins are forgiven. God doesn't remember our sin anymore. And even though we've messed up in the past, praise the Lord, we're free because Jesus sets us free. Amen and amen and amen. And so we cannot control and we cannot change our past. How many know we cannot control what happens in the future? Do you realize you cannot control what's going to happen in the future? But wait a minute. We may not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Amen and amen and amen. But listen, beloved, while we cannot change the things in the past, think about your life. And while we cannot control the things of the future, we can control our attitude in the present. Amen and amen and amen. For that reason, I believe the Lord placed this message in my heart to share with you today, to bless you, to be an encouragement to you. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. Let's say that together. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. One more time. I can't hear you. There's something about that. There's something about it. A good attitude. Now listen, beloved. I hope that you get a tape and you'll give it to somebody. Not because of me, but because of God. It could be a blessing to somebody. I hope that you'll send out a text message this week, or a tweet this week, or maybe an email this week, or how about a phone call even today? Tell somebody that God loves them. Tell them that the Lord has a plan for their life. Let them know that you care about them. Will you do it today? I believe you will never be the same if you'll do what God tells you to do today. If you already had a purpose in your heart, you didn't just come to church just to hear another message. Rather, you came to church because you want to follow through on exactly what God tells you to do. You will be changed today by the power of a living God. And speaking of that, being changed, how many know that there's in the news and things we can't control, all this stuff about immigration? Let me see your hand. It's been in the news. It's been on the news for quite some time now. Now, regardless of how you and I might feel about it, certainly we're in favor of those who come in a legitimate way, in a legal way, like some even in our church family. And on the other hand, we might have feelings about others. But I did hear about a man who came from a foreign country over here from India. And he was being interviewed and seeing if he would be a citizen or not. And they said, "Sir, we want you to be able to make a statement using a paragraph, using the words green, pink, and yellow. Green, pink, and yellow. Can you do that, sir?" The man from India said, he thought for a moment, He said, yes. He said, the telephone goes green, green, green. I peek it up and I say, yellow, yellow, yellow. You'll get it later, all right? Hey, look, we're living in a world. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. You hear about the two boys, and they were sitting in class, and the teacher, he messed up. Man, he just failed completely on his test. Some of you, I hope you're not failing. But anyway, the teacher said to him, said, son, said, how far were you from making a passing grade on this test? The boy said, 2 seats away, all right? They were 2 seats away from making a passing grade. And one daddy said to his son, said, son, I know you couldn't have cheated on this test because you flunked it, all right? But anyway, hey, a good attitude leads to great gratitude. Let me tell you what happened to me last Sunday night. I had the privilege of going down to Sandy Acres Baptist Church, as I mentioned a moment ago, in Umatilla, Florida. Now, I don't understand how they get all these counties. You know what? I don't understand how we, New Rocky Creek, can be in Jasper County and yet have a Mansfield address. Somebody talk to me. I mean, that's Newton County, hello. But it's the same way down there where I was at, down at Sandy Acres Baptist Church. It's in Umatilla, Florida, but anyway, Eustace is there, and Altoona is there, and anyway, point being this, last Sunday night I preached the Word of God, and Sunday, and God blessed on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but last Sunday night, a young girl came up to me, 9 years old. This young girl came up to me, and she just handed me a note. Here's the note she handed me. It'll bless you. Listen to this. And she wanted me to read it. I opened it up, and she was standing there, and she walked away. She didn't want me to read it right then. So I got back to where I was staying, and I read this out loud, and the Lord blessed me, and I think it'll be a blessing to you. 9-year-old girl. I was at church on Sunday night. She said, dear Mr. Reese, I really enjoyed your miraculous message! Thank you so much for coming to our wonderful church to give us miracle-working preaching. I'm sure our congregation will perform a better life. Thank you again. Yours truly, Hannah Tester. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to you, but I want you to know from a 9-year-old girl, it means a whole lot to me. 9-year nothing. If this was from a 60-year-old man, it'd mean something to me, amen? But anyway, hey, this was a blessing. And God wants to bless you today. He really does. Will you be a blessing? Have you purpose in your heart you're going to be a blessing? Where we're going today is a very familiar passage of Scripture. I was talking with a man on the phone on Thursday of this week when I'd gotten back. He dropped a couple of words that began to resonate in my heart. God began to birth the message in my heart that I'm sharing with you this morning on Thursday of this week. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. Let's say that together. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. One more time. A good attitude. Oh, yes, it does. And if you got your Bibles, turn, please, to that wonderful passage as we're very, very familiar with. But I believe the Lord is going to show us some new things today in this passage, none other than the book of Job. Turn there, please. Job chapter 1 and verse 21. I want to read one verse of Scripture and then share with you the message God's got on my heart. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. Here in this very familiar passage of Scripture, the book of Job. And I want to encourage you and challenge you as we read the text today. Here is the proposition, if you will, in the message. Here it is. 3 reasons to rejoice with the right response. If you're taking notes, you might want to note 3 reasons to rejoice with the right response. Let me tell you this. Y'all look up here just a moment, all right, as you're looking for your text, all right? Do you realize you got a decision to make every day? You are faced with making a decision this very day. Why, we looked outside this morning and it was raining. We had to decide, am I going to church or am I not going to church? Am I going to wear this for clothing or am I going to wear this for clothing? We have to make decisions all the time. We're going to make a decision here in just a little while. Am I going to do what God tells me to do or I'm going to just say, not now? We're making decisions all the time. I've said it often, and I'm going to say it again. Daily decisions determine our destiny. And listen to me, beloved. See if you agree with me. A man came up to me on Monday night of last week, and he handed me a note. And here's what the note said. By the way, this man named Larry and his wife named June, guess how far they're traveling to get to church? For a revival meeting. Over 45 miles. One way. 45 miles, one way to get to church to revival meeting. That's 90 miles. Guess what? They came on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, driving over 40. They didn't make a big deal of it. I just happened to know they were living in the land and were driving that long the distance and came to church. Do you know anybody that'll drive 45 miles night after night after night to come to a revival meeting on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Oh, it was a blessing. He didn't make anything about it, but I just happened to know him even before going to the revival meeting. He handed me a note on Monday night. He said, God bless you. And I said, good to see you, Larry. Good to see you, June. And anyway, he handed me a note. Here's what it said. The note said this. See if you agree with it. It says, life is 10% of what happens to us. 90% is our response. 90% is our response. 10% of life is what happens to us. 90%, you know that reflex? You know how when you hit your knee, you have a jerk reaction? 10% of life is what happens to us. 90% is how we respond. And that is the message God has placed on my heart today to share with you this matter of a right, watch this, a right. I'm praying for you, Mary, praying for your daughter, Dana. I got the message of this week. I'm praying that God's will be done. All right. Hey, look. Listen, now, 90% is our reaction. What are you going through today? How you responding today? What are you going to do about tomorrow? How about the decisions you got to make right now? Three reasons to rejoice. Wait. With the right response. With the right response, all right? We're looking at the book of Job and chapter 1 and verse 21. If you'd like to stand, you can. If you want to sit down, you can. I'm going to read it real quick and then I'll be done. Job 1:21. You know it very familiar. And Job said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away, or taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's say that together. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your peace. Bless you, Jesus. You are in control. You're on your throne. You're coming again. The rain even has to obey you. The clouds have to obey you. The trees are obeying you. The animals are obeying you. Oh, God, you said, let everything that hath breath, let it praise the Lord. And Lord, we can't keep quiet. Lord, we can't be silent. When the rocks are crowd, we, our Father, want to say, hallelujah, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. So, Father God, help us to express how we feel in our hearts today. Help us not to quench. Help us not to squelch your spirit as it bubbles up inside of us. Lord, just let the rivers of water flow. Let the fountain of the deep be broken up. Oh, precious Lord, you've been good. You're good. And we praise you in the good times. We bless you in the bad times. We thank you, Father God, for your provisions and for your forgiveness of our sins. Move on our hearts. Oh, blessed God, lift the clouds of discouragement and depression and despondency in our heart. Renew us, Lord. Refresh us, Father, and revive our hearts. Thank you what you did last week here and yonder. And God, the word of God is going forth unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Jesus, you are the one that we worship and the one we praise. You are, Lord, the one that we'll stand before. And we just ask you, Lord, have your will and way with us today. Help us to respond, Father, properly. Lord, spiritually, as the Spirit speaks to our heart today, dear God. Lord, set our souls on fire. Lord, give us heaven's vision. Give us a passion to know you and the power of your resurrection. And thank you now for Josh here last week and Jim and others, our God. Lord, the saints, the servants of God who make up the body of Christ. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen our hands. You'll help us not to get weary in well-doing. The Iwanas and the nursery and the Sunday school. And Lord, every facet, every phase of your church. Oh God, we recognize we're here for such a time as this. Oh, blessed Lord, we don't want to fail you now. Lord, we
pray for heaven's help, Lord, that you'll keep us faithful to the finish, and we'll give you glory when all's said and done. Because we ask it in the name of Jesus, saving the lost, reviving the saved. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. Three responses. Really, three reasons to rejoice. Are you going to rejoice this Thanksgiving? Three reasons to rejoice as we respond the right way to the things that happen to us in life. Now, here's where we're going. The Lord, as I said a moment ago, through a man I was talking with on the phone, dropped these seed thoughts in my mind. Number one, we can, by the grace of God, rejoice because God is able to turn our burdens into blessings. Get it down. Burdens into blessings. How many got a burden today? How many going through a tough time today? How many got troubles today? How many of you have got some kind of weight or stress or some particular affliction that you are enduring right now? Turn the burden into a blessing. Number two, not only turn a burden into a blessing, but number two, we'll see in a moment, turn not only that, but oh, wait a minute, our pain can be turned into a path. Our pain can be turned into a path. How many are going through something that's painful at the moment? It's hurtful at this moment. You can turn that pain into a path, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But then last, and I don't know if I have time, but well, not only that, but we can turn from being picked on, our mentality picked on, to being picked out. Picked on to be picked out. Go back to Job 1:21. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One more time, let's say it together. The Lord, come on, y'all can talk louder than that. Come on. The Lord, and the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. With a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hey, wait a minute. I want you to follow with me, and I've often and had the privilege of preaching on Job numerous times, but God began to drop some things in my mind as I was thinking about this wonderful account of this great man of God and how God helped him and he endured. He had reasons to rejoice with the right response. First of all, notice with me as we look at Job's character, and then we'll see for a moment Job's not only character, but we'll see that Job has a choice. And not only that choice, but we'll follow as the progression in the book of Job. And then we'll come down to those ways we can make this practical, turning burdens into blessings, pain into paths. And then thirdly, if we have time, from being picked on, our mentality, rather than being picked out. First, consider Job and his character. How many believe that character counts these days? Oh, yeah. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen rather than great riches. Character counts. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Character means something. No wonder Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and Enoch walked with God. And no wonder that Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose rather to be afflicted with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Character counts. No wonder Daniel in Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat nor with the king's wine. Why? Character counts. No wonder Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, follow him. That's 1 Kings chapter 18. Oh, listen, character counts. Character makes a difference. We could go on and on and on. Job had character. Now, listen to me. Job was a man who liked to help people. Do you like to help people? I said, do you like to help people? Don't you like to be a blessing to somebody? Hello, don't you like to be a blessing? Oh, yeah, it does your heart good when you know you're being a blessing to somebody else. Watch this. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I can see in my mind's eye, Job, he's a blessed man. He is blessed beyond measure. And I can watch him. He's walking downtown. Can you see him? He likes to be a blessing. He wants to help somebody. Today, somebody's going to come across your path, and you'll have a choice to either bless them or not be a blessing. It could be tomorrow as well. In fact, it will be. As a matter of fact, this coming Thanksgiving, there's going to be opportunities for you and me to shine the light and the love of Jesus. I can see old Job now. There's Brother Job. Brother Job's in town now. Job walks up to a man, and the man says, he's shopping, you know, at the store down there in his homeland. And a man says, Job, I've got bad news. What is it, says Job? I'm sanctimoniously thinking for a moment in my sanctimonious mind. And so, Job, I've got bad news. My well is not working. How many know what I mean? A well was an important commodity in those days. My well's not giving any water. I'm in trouble, Job. And those days in the Eastern culture, what am I talking about those days? In this day, when your water's not working, you're in trouble. Say amen. Amen. Well, anyway, and so Job says, man, that's all right. I've got a servant, Brother Julius, that can fix that well. I know how to fix that well, man. I can do it. And Job says to that man, said, don't worry about it. I'll tell my servant. He'll be over at your place. He'll get that thing going in no time. Thanks, Job. Thanks, man. Job like to help people. I can see him as he's at the store. A lady says, Job, Job goes up to her and says, how you been doing? She says, well, not really good, but God has been blessing anyway. What do you mean not good? She says, well, I only had one old camel. That's all I had to ride from here to there. And that old camel's old, and that old camel got sick, and that old camel died. I can hear Job say, honey, don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. I've got camels. God's blessed me. God's blessed me. And you know what? God's blessed me to be a blessing. And God wants me to help you out. And the Lord wants me to give you a camel. Don't you worry about that. I'll have a camel at your place tomorrow. Job liked to help people. And so do we. That gift of hospitality and helps as mentioned as a spiritual gift in Romans chapter 12. But wait a minute. Job not only like to help. Job believed in interceding and praying. He was a spiritual man. I don't know that. In chapter 1, the Bible says, and I can see Job right now. He's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. I can see him right now. Every day, the Bible says, he made an offering. He took a lamb out of all those sheep and all those animals he had. Every day, he took a lamb. Why? He offered it up to God. Why? Listen to me, daddies. Listen to me, mamas. Listen to me, grandparents. Listen to me, grandchildren. Job, I can watch him now. He said, God, here is this burnt offering. I don't know what John is going to go through today, and Joe's going to go through today, and Jim's going to go through today, and Jill is going to go through today. But God, here's an offering for my children. Here's in case they sin, in case they get out of your will. God, I care about them. I want to pray for them. How many today are lifting up your family? How many today are praying for your children? The Bible says Job prayed for his family. Job, his character. Oh, listen, beloved, this Thanksgiving, I can't think of a better time, even today, than saying, Father, I pray you'll bless my son, bless my daughter, bless my family, bless my husband, bless my wife. You say, but they know that. Don't you take it for granted. Keep lifting them up. We all need prayer. And we all need to stay red hot when it comes to interceding. How about interceding for those lost that are out in our community? How many know today there's some people out there that aren't saved, that aren't going to heaven, that are going to miss heaven and bust hell wide open? Doesn't that bother you? Doesn't that concern you? Sure it does. We can pray about it. You say, but what can I do? One plus God is majority. You can go and talk with them when time comes. You can invite them to church. You can invite them to Jesus. You can talk with them. Maybe you can go to lunch with them. Maybe you can go by and do something for them. Let them know you care. Can I tell you what? Sometimes people are not won to the Lord overnight. Sometimes it takes weeks, months, even years. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't happen overnight. Who's that on your heart today? Who's that on your prayer list today? Who is that you about giving up on today? No, no. Job's character. Secondly, we move from Job's character to something else. Job's conflict. There was a day when the sons of God came before God and Satan came before God. And God said to Satan, where you'd been doing, as if God didn't know. How many know God knows everything? And you know what the devil said? Watch this. I've been walking to and fro throughout the whole earth. How many know that Satan is still walking to and fro throughout the whole earth? Matter of fact, Peter says he's like a roaring lion, walking, seeking whom he may devour. Hey, look. You know what God said to Job? You know what God said to Job? God said. Well, God said to Satan first. You know what God said to Satan? Hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Look at him. He's an upright man. He's a man of character. You know what the devil said? Yeah. He's upright, all right. He's using you, God. He's using you. Look how you blessed him. Look at all the stuff he has. No wonder he's serving you. Wonder what the devil said about you. The devil says, ha, 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 God, he don't care about you. All he cares about are all those possessions he's got. He's been blessed beyond measure. He's got more than every man could ever need or want. And the only reason he's serving you now is because everything's going his way. You just take some of that stuff away from him and he'll curse you. Are you being tested? Could you be tested? Could you be tried? Had those material possessions become so precious to you that that's what your security is in? Wait a minute. God said, all right, devil, you can have Job, but you cannot take his life. And so his conflict, just like that, from the mountain to the valley, just like that, from the sun to the rain, just like that, Job is in the midnight darkness of the soul. But how many know the God of the good times, he's still God in the bad times? I'm sorry, folks, I just came out of a revival meeting. I'm used to them shouting out there. I just keep doing like this because I was thinking somebody might say amen. Because I was thinking somebody might be going through a hard time, but God has so blessed you through that hard time that what's in you, you can't help but say amen, because God has been good. And you see, Job is losing everything, his conflict. But that leads to his correction. His wife, Miss Snobby Job, we don't know her name. Miss Snobby Job, you know what she says? Job, it's God's fault. It's God's fault. Job, what about all this business of you serving God? God's not helping you now, Job. Have you noticed how the devil will use anybody to try to get to us? Job backs up for a moment. He's been knocked down, but he had not been knocked out. Hallelujah. Job says, hush, woman. That's in modern day language. Hush, woman. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then you know what Job says to her? He said, listen, has God been good to us? Question, has God been good to y'all? And then Job says to his wife, listen, do we always receive good from the hand of the Lord? And sometimes things happen. But through it all, we're going to praise God. Through it all, we're going to bless the Lord. I've seen some of you. I've been with you at the hospital. I've been with you with that loved one dying. I've seen some of you, praise God. You've been through the water. You've been through the fire. But you've determined in your heart you're going to praise God anyway. You're going to bless the Lord anyway, because he inhabits the praise of his people. Is there anybody here today that says, hallelujah, God has sure been good to me. He has brought me safe thus far, and he's going to lead me home. Amen and amen and amen. Look to him now, would you? And deep inside, the Holy Spirit of God is resonating in your heart, saying, you better say something. You better acknowledge that I've been good to you. You better say that, God, you've been good to me. Oh, yes, God, you've brought me safe. You've cared me when I couldn't care myself. I'm not a self-made man. I'm not a self-made woman. Lord, you blessed me beyond measure. Job's choice, Job's character, Job's conflict, Job's correction. Finally, Job's celebration. You know the story. Fast forward. The end of the chapter 42. Three friends come. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar. counselor, theologian, scholar. And then Elihu, I'm fast-forwarding. I'm going a jet lightning speed through the book of Job. You know what those friends say when Job's going through a hard time? Same thing they'll say to you. You know what they say? Job, it's your fault. You had to do something to cause all this trouble, Job. I know that God wouldn't do this to you. You're right. God wouldn't do it to him. The devil would. God allowed it. Hello. You know the age-old question? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why would a good God allow suffering? How many have heard that? Well, what do you tell them? It's crystal clear. The scripture says at least three evidences of suffering. Number one, some suffering is a direct result of sin. Well, I know what you're thinking. Indirectly, we could all tie it to that. However, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a man in the church of Corinth. He's committed fornication. And Paul said he'll be turned over to the destruction of the flesh. Why? Because some suffering is directly related to sin. Number two, some suffering is just for the glory of the Lord. How do I know that? John chapter 9. There's a man born blind at birth. The disciples said, Jesus, is it his sin or is it his parents' sin? Why is he blind? Jesus said, neither, but for the glory of God. And the Lord spit on his eyes, put clay on his eyes, told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and he could see. Oh, once I was blind, but now I could see. Third, there's a third reason found in the scripture. Why would a good God allow bad things to happen? That's what people are saying right now out there. You know what? That's why a lot of people aren't darkening the door of the church. They get this idea. Well, if God's a good God, why would all these bad things happen to you so-called Christians? Hello? It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. In the day you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. Death is inevitable. Our bodies are wearing out, but our inner man's being renewed day by day. Hey, wait a minute. There's a third reason for suffering. What is it? And this is what you can tell your family when you gather together. And this is what you can call those friends and say, I don't want God, and I don't believe in this God. Well, really, you want to be your own God. That's really what the essence of humanism is and evolution is man wants to be his own God. Guess what? It don't matter if man wants to be his own God or not, still he's accountable to God. One day we'll all stand before God and God will see to it that we'll have to give an account according to the scriptures in the great white throne judgment. But wait a minute, there's a third reason. What is it? Not only to glorify God, not only for directly to sin, the suffering. Thirdly, it's to purify the saints. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. How do I know? Purify the saints. Job had done nothing wrong. Job was an upright man. All of a sudden, one calamity after another calamity, boom, boom, boom. And Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why was God allowing this? God never did explain to Job why he was going through what he was going through. Can you hear me? God never did say, but Job looks in, Job looks out, Job looks up and says, oh, that I might know where I might find him. He knows my ways, he has found me, and he shall purify me as gold. Job 23:10. Oh, Job says that he might purify me, that I might come out like gold. Some suffering is just to glorify the Lord and purify the saints. You get it? But God says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I can do more things through this experience than I would if things were going way that you want it to go. How many believe that God loves us? How many believe that you can trust God no matter what you're going through? And then that celebration, the chapter 42, God says, those friends, you're wrong. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, you're wrong. You've wrongly diagnosed the problem. How many know it's easy to start telling people why they're going through what they're going through? It's so easy to step in and say, well, you know, and this and that and the other. They didn't know. We don't know. Sometimes we have no idea. Though we cannot see the hand of God, wait a minute, we can trust his heart. I could not begin to tell you all the times that we've been able to witness this down through the years, and oh, how it blesses our heart to see what God is doing. Number one, reasons for rejoicing. With the right response. The right response. May God help us today, this Thanksgiving, turn our blessing, our burden, into blessings. Our burdens into blessings. Question, how many would today, honestly, 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 how many today say, I am experiencing at least one burden in my life? Don't raise your hand. probably a lot of us, if you're honest. And if we're not thinking, if your mind's out in Lulu land, you're probably not going to think of anything. But a lot of us are experiencing at least one burden. But God says you can turn that burden into a blessing. What do I mean? How you explain that, Pastor? I don't understand. It don't make sense. I hadn't read a book about that. I don't see that in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. You know why? Because God turns our blessings into our burdens into blessings, our burdens into blessings. What I mean? Lori Ellis. How many knew Lori Ellis? A few months ago, she's working. Hey, look, it could be you. It could be me. I didn't hear you. She's working. She cleaned up houses. Guess what? She's got something in her left hand, and all of a sudden, she can't hold it. She picks it back up, and all of a sudden, she can't hold it. What's wrong? Something's wrong. I got to go to the doctor. Come find out, she got a brain tumor. Didn't know it until March or February of last year, this year, 2014. Next thing you know, she's going through one surgery after another. Next thing you know, I get back from Israel. I go over to her bedside. It was May the 15th, the day after I got back from Israel, Jordan. I stood at her bedside over in Madison, Georgia. She just had surgery for a brain tumor. I stood at her bed and I said, Lori, I just listened to her. You know what she said to me? She said, Brother Randy, I don't know what else happened to me, but she said this, I believe God is going to use this for good. I don't understand it all, but I want to honor Him, His will. Surely I want to live, but if it's God's will for me not, I'm just put it in His hands. And she said, Brother Randy, I'm praying for my family. I'm praying for my family. I'm praying my son will get saved, my daughter get right. I just don't trust God through this. That was in May. Guess what happened? A week later, I had the privilege of taking her son, 18 years old, little Floyd. By the way, he's going to church with his girlfriend. Can you blame him? Hey, I'd go to church with my girlfriend any day. Anyway, had the privilege of leading him to the Lord in Cracker Barrel parking lot, an answered prayer of that mama who's got a brain tumor, who's dying. God answered her prayer. Little Floyd passed from death into life. He was baptized up here. Brother Andy, how can any good thing come out of bad situations? I don't know. I can't explain it. I just know that God's God and we can trust Him. Amen and amen, and glory be to His name. Woo! Glory! 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 I had to let it out, folks. I had to let it out because God, I've seen Him over and over again do that. And I know we don't deserve it. I know we're not worthy, but God shows Himself strong. My God's alive. My God's mighty. How big is your God? Oh, listen. Turn our burdens into blessings. How many know Bill Bailey? How many know Bill Bailey? I talked to Brother Bill this Thursday. Guess how old Brother Bill is? 84 years young. His birthday was Thursday. How many knew that? I caught him on Thursday. I wanted to visit him. I came rolling in at 5 o'clock in the morning, drove all night long, got up and went to the Muse straight from there, and was up all day for about 24 hours. I'm not whining about it. I'd do it over again. But as I thought about it Thursday afternoon when I got down here, I said, I'm going to call Brother Bill. I'm sure he's gotten inundated with calls, but I just want to call him and tell him happy birthday. The Lord moved on my heart to do that. He picked up the phone and said, Brother Randy, and I said, how you doing, Brother Bill? Want you to know we love you. Want you to know we're praying for you. And Brother Bill began to crack, his voice did. He began to tell me how much it is a blessing, how God had ministered to him, even during this time of chemotherapy. He's scheduled to go tomorrow for his next chemotherapy treatment. How many know it's playing a toll on Brother Bill? I know Calvin and Pam were scheduled to go over there. Many had called that day. Chemotherapy. There's that Brother Bill, strong. Brother Bill, you know, he 83 years old just a few months ago. And now, all of a sudden, he's going through the chemotherapy. He can hardly leave his recliner chair. Can y'all hear me? He's that weak. He's that down. He can walk a little bit, but you look at him, you can tell. It's certainly playing a toll on him. I said, Brother Bill, I want you to pray, brother. How many like to hear Brother Bill pray? Amen and amen and amen. Brother Bill, would you pray? I want to hear you pray, Brother Bill. He prayed and I prayed. And Brother Bill had told me when I visited with him just a few days ago, he and Bobby said, Brother Randy, we want you to know these things that are happening to us. We don't understand it, but we can trust God to it. He said this, I'm seeing, wait a minute, I don't want you to miss this. We're seeing God work in my family like never before. God's answering prayer. I won't go into detail. God's answering prayer. Brother Bill's going through a midnight darkness of the soul. He's having a tough time. Put yourself in his place. What do? You cry out to God. You see, our burdens can turn into blessings. He's seeing God supernaturally, miraculously break through on prayers. He's been crying out to God for years. Is there anybody here? You've been crying out to God for years. You've been crying out to God for a long time. By the way, Lori fought the good fight. In August the 1st, we gathered around her bedside. And I'll never forget it. It was about 8 o'clock at night. Hey, you'd have had to been there. We gathered around her bedside knowing time is short. Here's a 45-year-old lady. Just got a brain tumor. I stood on this side of the bed. Her son stood on this side of the bed. Her husband stood on this side of the bed. Her daughter stood on this side of the bed. And she's running her race. She's fighting a good fight. We were saying, glory, if God can, but if God doesn't, we'll see you in the morning. I don't know if you've ever been at a time where the loved ones have won. I'm talking about a 45-year-old lady, an 18-year-old son, a 16-year-old daughter. Oh, you can imagine the emotions at that moment. Mama, I won't see again this side of heaven, but Mama, I'll see again on the other side. Woo! Glory! Keep fighting the good fight. We stayed up all night long. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I could see time was of essence. Her breathing began to get erratic. I said to Floyd, I said, it's time. Angels are coming to get her. Watch. And as we stood and watched Lori take her last breath, absent from the body, present with the Lord, I thought, oh God, burdens can turn into blessings. And I want you to know, though that loved one may be taken into heaven. How many got a loved one that's already taken to heaven? Though they be gone, yet they still speak. Burdens turned into blessings. Pain turned into paths. And I'll be done. I don't have time to develop the last point. Pain turned into a path. Not only burdens into blessings, pain into a path. What I mean, God has a way of blazing a trail. I shared Carrie Mincy's testimony numerous times as the Lord has laid on my heart. Wait a minute. I'm not quite through. Y'all give me a couple more minutes. Carrie Mincy. How many of you, Carrie? Raise your hand. Some of you didn't know her. Young 14-year-old girl. Came to Awana's. Hello. Awana's. Mom and Daddy wasn't coming. Sister wasn't coming. Nobody was coming to church. God used that little girl. She was 14 years old. She wrote her daddy a note. He got it out. He'll be the first to say. I saw him walk up in the back door just a minute ago. He'll be the first to tell you. He got a suitcase out, opened it up. He was out of the will of God. He was living for the devil like many of us were. And God used that little note. That little girl wrote him a note. He opened that suitcase, not have time for God. And that little girl, 14 years old, said, Daddy, I don't want you to go to hell. I want to see you in heaven. When I die, Daddy, 14 years old, how in the world she knew she was going to die? I don't know. Daddy, when I die, I want to see you in heaven. Well, it wasn't shortly after that. Her daddy started coming. Her mama started coming. Her sister started coming. Every one of them, thank be to God, were gloriously saved by the blood of the Lamb and been baptized. Her daddy's teaching Sunday school. Can y'all hear me? And her mama's involved. And her sister now are still coming to church. Hallelujah. Why? That 14-year-old girl up there in the study, in the office there, up there, God's still at work. I shared with her how she could have a personal relationship with Jesus and told her how she was a sinner, how she needed to be saved. And she said, I need Jesus to save me. I was there when she cried out to God. I saw her get on her knees, 14 years old, and she passed from death unto life. I said, glory. He wrote me a note about what it means to be saved. I still got it. Absolutely mind-boggling. It would absolutely boggle your mind. A 14-year-old girl would be able to explain what it means to be in a right relationship with God. But wait a minute. And 2 years later, Carrie was killed. She came to church Sunday morning. I can still see her sitting right here, 16 years old, taking notes. I've got the notes she took that morning, like a day like today. Little did we know that night, that afternoon, she'd be taken out into eternity. Oh, but I'm telling you, God used that experience a pain into a path. Why am I saying that? I was preaching on Wednesday night over at Sandy Acres Baptist Church, and I planned on preaching another message. All of a sudden, when I stood up, God changed the total message. How many know that'll put pastor for a tailspin? Real quick. I wake up at night sweating and dreaming about not being prepared, standing up to preach the Word of God. That's my worst nightmare, standing up and not having anything to tell about Jesus. Well, Wednesday night stood up and God just told it. I looked out. There were 75 children there. 75, at least. Teenagers, children, they feed them before church. They go out and pick them up on the bus. It's a country church way out in the country. God's doing the work. I looked out there. There was teenagers and children. My heart began to beat for them. And God had me to share on the prodigal son. I don't know why, but God knows why. Changed the message totally. I was unprepared. I said, Holy Spirit, I've got to depend on you. I got to depend on you anyway. But wait a minute. 23-year-old young lady was sitting right about there as I was preaching the Word of God, tears streaming down her face. She was lifting up her hands. I knew God, the Holy Ghost, was dealing with her. I didn't know her from Adam's house cat. Don't know anybody there. But I know this, as I'm preaching like I am today, she got up from her seat, 23 years old, boo-hooing, broken. And I could tell God, the Holy Ghost, was dealing with her. She hit the altar as I'm preaching. The pastor got up, Brother Gene. He went over to where she was at. I'm still preaching. I didn't know what all was going on. I knew something was going on. And then after about 5-10 minutes, I heard them shouting and praising God that God has saved her soul. I didn't know it at the time. But the Lord gave me a burden for the other young people who were there and shared the message. Long story short, gave the invitation. The altar was full night after night after night. Teenagers weeping, crying. I was standing, I was praying beside one teenager. I could see the altar was full of water where tears had fallen of repentance from their heart. And then when all was said and done, the others were saved. I don't know who and where and all of that. All I know, the pastor said, if this young girl is saved, her teacher, Sunday school teacher, was crying. Said, I've been praying for this girl for a long time. And anyway, the Spirit of God fell. You had a part in it. You were praying for your pastor. Glory, glory, glory. And then when I finished preaching, that young lady, 23 years old, her name is Amanda. Pray for her. The pastor said, after the invitation, he said, Amanda was saved. I said, glory be to God. Peter was preaching and Cornelius' household was saved. He interrupted the message. What am I saying? I'm saying this as I shared the testimony. A path of pain. A pain can be turned into a path of blessing and the carry. I shared a testimony. You know what? I was thinking. Guess the whole carry would have been 23. I don't know all about that. All I know is a good attitude leads to great gratitude. Let's say it together. A good attitude leads to great gratitude. I'm going to stop there. Finish later. What about it today? Beloved, as we